they're going, members of the NRA going to come into the black neighborhoods. I'm telling you. You know, the people going, people just tired of this. White people are being pushed around, kicked to the curb, having their rights denied, being called a racist, being walked on, watching their tax dollars go to fund all kind of drug sales, prostitution, illegal immigration. I mean, y'all going to push these white folk till they can't take it no more. I'm telling you. You fool around here with Obama? You going to let this long-legged Mac Daddy push these white folk? They're going to come up out of Tennessee and come up out of Oklahoma, come up out of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, come up out of Oregon and come out of Idaho and California. I'm telling y'all, you're pushing these white folk and you're pushing them. Your long-legged Mac Daddy's pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. And they're going to get, listen, you're going to push people to the point where they're not going to take it no more. These white folk are not going to take it. You're taking their tax money. You're closing down their jobs. You're shutting down their banks. You're telling them what they can and cannot do. You're giving billions of dollars to Acorn. You're taking their tax money and giving it to people to buy drugs. You're killing babies and you won't stop. You're telling lies and you're demoralizing our nation. You're destroying everything that has made this nation. White folk getting ready to rise up. They don't want to take it no more. And I'm joining them. Oh, doggone it.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Hands held high, no gun inside. They shot him down on his way. your heart, you know what freedom is, what freedom isn't. It's to stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you.
Cowboy stand.
No matter how it ends.
Well, I'm giving it a try here. I can't check the chat room to see if I've got sound or not, because I'm having all kinds of problems, and I don't know if it's internet or on my equipment. I'm not sure what's happening here. But anyway, just in case it is working, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 19th of February, President's Day. This is the day they chose so we didn't have to have a holiday for Lincoln and Washington both, so they just combined it all into one and called it President's Day. And let me go back over here one more time and see if the chat room is working. It's kind of like wanting to work a little bit, so if anybody wants to text me or message me on Facebook or something, let me know if we have sound. That would be just awesome. So let me check these out. Still nothing on here. All right, well, I can only assume that it's working. We're going to do a show whether it's working or not, just so we'll have a podcast to put up, even if it's not coming out live. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to mention our class in Washington coming up. The one in Oregon, for the time being, has fallen through, so I don't think that one's going to happen. And the one in Colorado is probably going to be postponed for another month. So for right now, the only thing we have going is the one in Washington, and that's in May, besides for the local stuff that we have going on. So there's, people are being a little bit more receptive right now. They're more interested in defensive classes of various kinds, not just shooting, but other things too, because of everything that's going on, not the least of which was the school shooting on Valentine's Day. Another Valentine's Day massacre right there. That's going to be an ugly thing. Valentine's Day is going to be an ugly thing for a lot of kids for a long time. After that, that's just too damn bad. But anyway, there's an assault right now on the Second Amendment, probably never, ever before. I think that we're going to see a tremendous battle here between the forces of good and evil, trying to take our guns away. And we're going to see, already have seen, some Republicans cave and pass over to the other side. I saw one today. I don't remember which one it was, but I think that we're going to lose support this time. So if you have ever taken the time to make a phone call and write a letter, send an email in your life, now is the time. Or I guess I say if you never have, now is the time. We need to bombard our legislators, good, bad, and evil, and ugly. I mean, the Democrats as well as the Republicans, all of them, express your concern, tell them what's going on, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it. We need to overwhelm them with letters, phone calls, and emails. Be advised that I've been told that a lot of emails get deleted. They see the title, the subject, and it goes away. I don't know that they all do that, but I know some of them do that. I was told by a legislator that if you really want to get somebody's attention, that hard written paper letters, just like they used to do in the olden days, is the best way to do it. Telephone calls is second best. Emails, somewhere bringing up the rear. So keep that in mind, and if you don't, there's always an argument of people on Facebook. It's all of these keyboard warriors that beat their chest and say, they can't take the right away. It's a right. They can't take the right away because God gave it to You know what? Shut up. They can and they will. You can sit around and pretend that you still have that right. They will take it away. You can go bury your gun so you can say you still got them. The right is gone. If you can't carry it downtown with you, if you can't go hunting without fear of getting caught, the right is gone. You can claim that God gave you that all you want to, but man will take it away. And until enough people are willing to stand up and keep that from happening, then you can bet your bottom dollar that the right is going to be gone. It will forevermore be a privilege until somebody decides that this needs to be reversed. So the only way right now, at this moment, the best chance that we have to prevent this is to write, call, email, all of the above. Let me check my... Okay. Yakima Glock, thank you. I'm glad you sent me that. I was wondering. I can't see the chat room still. I don't know what's going on. My internet has been real screwy tonight. We've got some tremendously nasty, horrible weather here all day long, which is good. We need the moisture. But it has snowed and rained, and the wind has blown up to 70-mile-an-hour gusts. 40 miles an hour, pretty steady most of the day. It has been a nasty day. We had a ball sitting in the parking lot of Lowe's, watching people's hats blow off and watching them take off across the parking lot to get it, and watching shopping carts that people left out there, you know, watching them race all by themselves all the way to the other side of the parking lot. That's a quarter of a mile to the street. And well, it's not quite that far, but it's 200 yards anyway. Watching these baskets take off across the parking lot. It's been a very interesting day. And we got snow sticking out there right now, so not a lot. There's only about an inch, but it's still snowing. The wind's still blowing, and it's still ugly. And that has been our day today. Not liking it too much. But like I said, we need the moisture worse than anything in the world. I don't know how much it's going to give us, but if it keeps it up like it is now all night long, we'll get a little bit. But anyway, I think because of that, since I've been home, which I only got home like 20 minutes ago, I just didn't have time to get my stuff in order here, so you're going to have to take it however I can dish it out to you and be happy with it, because that's the best we can do right now. And why I can't get my chat room to come up, I have no idea. Wait, stop. Ah, it's working. I see it. Okay. It just happened. All right, good deal. Let me see who all is with us now that I've got my vision back. Copper, good to see you as always. The Tinker, thank you for the note there. And Doc and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock. And roll that. Zardo's with us again. Tebow, Yakima Glock and Anonymous. Okay, good deal. Glad to see you all hang in there for me while I'm having so many problems getting on here. So, like I was saying, the Second Amendment is very much at risk. And you can beat your chest and say they can't take the right away all you want to, but until you're willing to fight for it, you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be gone. If we don't work really hard at getting, even Arizona's, right now we're pretty safe. But there are factions in Arizona that are working to try to change that, and some other things. Right now, we've got some good legislation being introduced, but not good enough yet. We need to work on. Matter of fact, I talked to a senator last night on the phone about getting something moving here towards some firearms training and changing some legislation, changing some laws here in Arizona about carrying guns on school grounds. As it is right now, technically you're supposed to, as you drive onto school property, that gun is supposed to be unloaded. I've told you this before, but technically, if you want to obey the law, you have to pull over somewhere and off school grounds, handle that loaded firearm in a confined environment unnecessarily with a car full of kids, unload it, drive on to the property, let the kids off, pull off the property, find some place to pull over, load the gun again in a confined environment unnecessarily, and put it back in your holster, your purse, or wherever you carry it. So that's pretty stupid, really. Pretty dumb to make people do that. You know, it's one thing to say no guns on the property. It's quite another knowing that people have concealed weapons permits and carry guns as a matter of course daily and tell them it has to be unloaded when you drive on school property. If someone is planning on shooting someone on school property, unloading that gun is not going to change anything. In the first place, they're not going to unload it. In the second place, even if they did, how long does it take to load it up again if they decide to do it? You know, pop a magazine in, you're looking at, you know, finding the magazine, pop it in, rack slide, second and a half, 2 seconds. And the gun's ready to go again. So the whole thing is just asinine.
I was just looking at Yakima Glocks, Lowe's, and Home Depot. Fun to watch with the big wind. All the large building supplies, 4x8 sheets of plywood. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So that's what we're working on here in Arizona. I don't expect to have a whole lot of luck with it, but I'm trying to get the ball rolling with the right people and see if we can get some changes made. Our gun laws are quite literally the best in the United States. But there's still a couple of things that I'd like to change. Well, there's a lot of things I'd like to change. I'd like to have the whole damn ever law that pertains to guns
lifted, period, and be done with it. But that's not ever going to happen, so at least not anytime soon. So
in light of the several, the Second Amendment attack that's going on, there is, let's see, here's a guy. He's just like that stupid idiot here. When was it? The school shooting we had or something here 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago, where the guy set out in the parking lot, and I don't remember what it was, took a sledgehammer to his AR-15 or something. I don't remember what it was. But I thought that was pretty dumb. And here's another guy. Just 7 hours ago from right now, a guy in New York. And why would a video like this go viral? I mean, this is just so silly. In New York, he posted a video where he sawed his AR-15 in half in hopes that one less gun would result in fewer mass shootings. So if you, that's telling me that you are not to be trusted. You had it in your mind that you're going to go shoot up a school. Why else would you saw your gun in half to keep somebody else from shooting a school up? I mean, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Okay, here I am, perfectly good, law-abiding, peaceful citizen, love my kids, love my guns, but I'm going to saw this rifle in half just so there won't be any more school shootings. Alrighty then. Well, we'll just leave you with that one just like it is. You can ponder on that all you want to. Okay. There was another one. Here's something else. Now, this guy, I have no doubt whatsoever that this kid,
well, yeah, copper, he ain't kidding there. Stupid knows no bounds. It has gotten so bad. We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
And Mountain Shooter, you're right. It's all going to be spun complete. It is being spun out of control. Well, here's a guy that was from, where is he from? Spartanburg County, South Carolina. Ninth grade, posted a video on Facebook or somewhere, social media. Oh, I think it was Snapchat. Claiming that he could be carrying out the school shooting of his own. He said this was Parkland 2. Round two of Florida tomorrow. And there's no question that this was a joke. It was in very poor taste, very bad timing. He is in jail right now. They have picked him up, and rightfully so. How stupid do you have to be to put a statement like that out on social media? I mean, that was the epitome. Well, not quite the epitome of stupidity, but it's damn close. And they went to his house and got he has no access to guns. The gun that he was holding turned out to be an airsoft. They did find it, and they found the mask that he had on. There's no question that he did it. The only question is, how did he get to be that stupid and only be 19 years old? But he's bawling and squalling, and his parents actually supported law enforcement, believe it or not. You know, they didn't make excuses for the kid. They said, well, you know what? You made the bed, buddy. You got to lie in it right now. Sorry about that. We'll come see you on Saturdays or whatever. So, and this is not helping. There's been lots of copycat threats. Thank goodness there has been one other shooting. That was in, where was that, Washington or somewhere here the day after Parkland? Or maybe that evening, hell, I don't remember. But lots of similar threats. And none of this is helping our fight to keep the Second Amendment intact. Now, I'm kind of jumping around here trying to piece this together as I can. But this is, you know, I dislike the FBI. I'm not a fan of any federal law enforcement agency. I think they're unconstitutional. I think they have overstepped their bounds in many hundreds of cases. And I'm not a fan. But I will say this. They have the best training available to man today. They leave no stone unturned. We've seen that in like with Lavoie's case and the Bundys. Every single Facebook post, everything, every email, every phone call, every text. I mean, they didn't miss anything. Jumped all over it. And here they even admit, now this is the funny thing, to dropping the ball here on this shooter in Parkland, this Cruz kid. They, it wasn't just a, well, okay, yeah, we dropped the ball, rolled our eyes, and move on to something else. They actually admitted to not following protocol and getting to the bottom of it. But I find that extremely disturbing and suspicious. To think that our federal law enforcement, any level of law enforcement, would lower themselves so low as to allow something like this to happen. See, this kid was visited by, I think, the county sheriff or the city police 30-some-odd times at his home. Someone called the FBI, one of the fellow students called in and said, you know what, this kid is bad news. He's, you know, he told him all about his post on Snapchat and Facebook and how he has actually expressed interest, a desire not only to hurt someone, but to kill someone. And they told the FBI all this. Told him about his stuff in his locker and his access to guns and all this stuff. And nothing was passed on to the Miami office. Now, you know, they can make all the fun they want to on Facebook about, oh, yeah, they were just busy, you know, trying to keep Hillary from getting prosecuted or trying to get Hillary elected or whatever. Okay, yeah, maybe so. But you'll never convince me that they were so busy that they would not take a threat like that at least somewhat seriously, at least enough to call the Miami office and say, hey, you know, go give this kid a visit and see what's going on. No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. This shooting was the FBI's fault. Period. Hands down. No questions. No discussion. It was the FBI's fault. Now, I don't know what person or what department or what area in the FBI, but it was the FBI's fault. And these guys, you know, drain the NRA, they're talking about. You know, not drain the swamp, but drain the NRA. It's the NRA's fault because no Republican and no NRA member has ever committed a school shooting. All of them Democrats. And we are the ones at fault. NRA members, Trump supporters, Trump himself, over 150 shootings during the Obama regime, and nobody ever blamed Obama. Not once. Nobody. Not our side, not their side, not anybody blamed Obama for any of these shootings. They blamed the NRA and Republicans. And now they get to even break it down even farther and call us Trump supporters and Trump himself. But nobody ever blamed Obama. I don't know why we don't have, you know, I can't believe that every Democrat and every liberal out there is so absolutely retarded. I don't mean just stupid. I mean mentally deficient. When I say retarded, I don't mean, I'm talking that the brains don't work right. I can't believe that so many of them out there that we're not getting a few of them to say, you know what, maybe we've been looking at this all wrong. Maybe we ought to rethink this a little bit. If we ever want this to stop, maybe we better be looking at what's actually going on. Yeah, T-Ball, I know you're right. Local law enforcement, sheriff, and everybody dropped the ball. But I think that as many times as local law enforcement, sheriff visited their home, his home, that certainly. It was, they've got to, I guess, take some of the blame. But the FBI, excuse me for clearing my throat in your ear there. Hang on a second. Let me, come on. Okay, I'm back. I think I got that out of my system. It's hard for me. I don't know. The whole thing just drives me absolutely nuts. Completely nuts. Okay, I get the whole thing about the drugs. I get the whole thing about everything they keep blaming on these shootings. You know, and I'm sure that there's some of it is definitely can be attributed to that, without a doubt. I don't believe that it was that is the sole reason for all of this. I think that, and I hate to even think it. And you guys have been listening to me, most of you, long enough to know that the last guy on Facebook to fall into these conspiracy things is yours truly. Cope Reynolds just doesn't do that. I spend more time researching other people's posts and trying to sort this stuff out than anybody on the internet. But damn, it's getting a little bit hard to overlook some of this. It looks like this is a clearly set up to rid us of that pesky Second Amendment. Once that's gone, then the Constitution itself is at risk, every bit of it.
Yeah, Tinker, you're probably right. Yeah, the anti-gun movement is because of drugs. Yeah, it certainly is. But not from the shooters, just from all the liberals taking so many. Well, I got to go take a blood pressure pill here and calm down just a little bit before we continue this on. So if you'll excuse me for just a little bit, I will be back.
I'll be back.
Put the hammer down, just ignore the county line. I've had enough of this old town, we're leaving it behind.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at 2 jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. we may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back.
Let's see, I had to catch my breath here. I'm getting way too worked up over all this. Okay, oh, great. Let's see if I can make this one come back here. I thought this was interesting, and it's a little bit refreshing. This just came out today that a Columbine survivor has introduced a bill to expand concealed carry in schools. You know, that's a heck of a discussion. Very active debate right now amongst the good, the bad, and the ugly about whether or not teachers should be allowed to carry guns in school. The one side says, well, it's their Second Amendment right. They should be able to do it. Well, yes and no. If because of all the panic and everything right now and you just get a bunch of old school marms out there that's never had a gun before and all of a sudden they think they need one in school and they want to start carrying one, I think that is a very, very bad idea. For the simple reason that they're not trained, they don't have the mindset for it. I mean, I just think it's a very bad idea. Is it their right? Not necessarily. I think because of their, condition of employment, if you want to exercise your right, go get another job, is the way I see it. Yes, they work for the government, and they, private schools, if they want to carry guns, that's up to the private school administrators if they want to let them do that. and I'm not opposed to it. There are a few jurisdictions out there that have allowed it. Shamrock, Texas is one. There's several. But they have paid good money for a lot of training. I am very much opposed to people that are not gun people and haven't had any previous training. I'm very opposed to them taking a 4-hour, an 8-hour, or even a 16-hour concealed carry class and expect them to conduct themselves properly
during a shooting, during a high-stress event like that. When there's so many people around, especially when those people are our kids. No, I'm not a fan. I think that I keep losing my chat room here. I'm trying to keep up with what's going on, but it's not working. Oh, well, I'll just have to let it go.
We ain't got that much time left anyway. Hang on a minute. We may have breaking news coming in here. What was that? No, we can wait. I think that if you're going to have people carrying guns in the school, which I'm all for it, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's for certain people. It may be difficult for, you know, financially and just the logistics of the whole thing of training every teacher in a school to carry. Some of the teachers don't want to, so don't make them. But I think it's more realistic to have the administrators carry guns or, you know, provide an adequate amount of training for the school teachers. Now, the school teachers need to understand at the risk of losing their job that no one is to know that you're carrying that gun. Reason being, to get some of these kids that are a little, you know, young, strapping young men, junior high age, high school age, find out that 135-pound school teacher is carrying a gun, and then they overpower him and get the gun. Would it be better for them to know that there's a gun in there, but it's in a safe? You could have one of those biometric safes that opens with fingerprints or whatever. That's still not necessarily a good thing. I can imagine that you take three big strapping boys and that 135-pound woman, and they get a hold of her and get a hold of her hand and provide the fingerprints to open the safe. You know, I don't know the perfect answer. I know that the perfect answer involves more guns in schools. The perfect answer is not having more resource officers or even a resource officer. We're pawning the whole responsibility off on the government there, and I don't think that's a great idea. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, I wrote a big long thing about this the other day, saying, you know, kind of the same thing. I'm sure that there's a lot of retired law enforcement and vets out there that would be glad to do this. Most of them would be glad to do it for free or for a very minimal fee. A lot of retired people are already drawing a check from the government. They could say, well, this is going to be part of my service to for the money that I'm already getting. I don't know. Anyway, that's another option. Even if you wind up paying them a full salary to do it, I think that most school districts. The only bad thing about that is that probably the only feasible way. Well, there's a couple of ways. One of them is to privatize the thing and just set up, a PayPal account, a GoFundMe account, and do it through donations. But what would probably happen is that they would create another tax. And, you know, most people probably wouldn't mind that too bad. It has to be paid for somehow. You look at providing, you can't do this with just one guy. You know, the resource officers are probably uncompensated other than their police pay. But you can't expect just one person or even two people. That's what I say. If the teachers had guns or the administrators, and then you had a couple of vets or a couple of retired cops walk in the hallways during class time, so that, you know, kind of a an early warning deal there. Then you know, I don't know what the perfect answer is, but the perfect answer is not taking away everybody's guns. Hey, stop. Sorry about that. Let me turn the sound off here. Thank you very much. Anyway, I don't know. There's
so many arguments with this that, you know, Mountain Shooter, I would, I understand your line of thinking there. But we go back again to
I don't know. I don't know if I would go for that or not. If we had a an adult there that was obviously standing around, looking around, and you know, standing at the door, watching the hallway or whatever. I don't know. For those of you not on the chat room, what Mountain Shooter says is he'd think about it the other way and have an 18 and 19-year-old officer to blend in with the kids and go undercover. Maybe. But like Copper says, you have to have experience. 18, 19-year-old officer has a very minimal amount of training. What the kind of training they need, they don't offer in the academy. Learning how to shoot is not the deal. They don't handle, the academy doesn't include active shooter scenarios and an additional, you know, 40 or 60 hours of training strictly on active shooter and handling yourself in crowds. That's a problem with anybody that you put in there if they're not Delta Force, you know, or you know, SWAT, or somebody that's specifically trained for that kind of deal. And I don't think people understand how much different that is. When you talk about active shooter interdiction, this opens up a whole new, very, very big can of worms. The average shooter, the average defensive shooter, the average competition shooter, the average combat vet. I don't care if they're a combat vet or retired law enforcement. Most of them have no training in active shooter interdiction. Handling a situation like that in crowds where you've got, you know, 400, 500, 600, 800 kids screaming and running every which direction. And how are you going to handle that shooter? It's just, you don't know. I wouldn't have combat vets doing that without additional training. That is no small consideration there, I promise you.
Been there, done that. I've been through some active shooter training, and it's a whole different thing. So anyway. Let me see if there's anything else here. We still got a few minutes. There's a little stuff for you to think about there. What is this? Let's see.
2-hour delay tomorrow for the school buses. All right. Don't have to get up so early tomorrow. Let me get back over here and find my other deal. But what started all this was the Columbine survivor that is introduced there. He says a lot of students are calling for tougher gun control. But another school shooting survivor. Now, this is actually a survivor, someone that was there when Columbine happened. And all the rest of these people are just saying, you know, there's a school 2,000 miles away. My, isn't that awful? This guy was there and experienced it. And he attended high school at the time of that shooting in 1999 and has, again, he is the Colorado House Minority Leader, Patrick Neville, again introduced legislation to remove limitations on concealed carry in K through 12 schools. Under state law, concealed carry permit holders may bring firearms onto school property but must keep them locked inside their vehicles. Well, there's one case where that worked out fair. That was in, I think it was, I forgot the name of the town. It starts with a P in Kentucky. And the principal ran out to his truck and got a gun and held the shooter. The shooter was actually had more guns, had planned, was going to another school to do some more damage. And the principal stopped him with a gun that he got from his truck. Now, should the gun have been in his office? Well, absolutely. He might have could have stopped some of the carnage there without. Cat, what are you doing? Oh well, so much to think about, so many things, lots of opinions, lots and lots of ill feelings, and lots of opposing thoughts on Facebook. And, of course, none of them solving any problems. They're just there to argue. Somebody posted a picture of a rock and said, just to prove that people will argue about anything, this is a rock. And, of course, somebody gets on right away and says, no, it ain't. It's a stone. Okay. All righty then. Well, that's what we got going on in the world today. Let's see if I have one more quick deal here. This might be something that would work. You know, I've been opposed to national reciprocity ever since it was first breathed the light of day out there, took its first breath. Why? Because it removes the 10th Amendment rights of other states. If Illinois does not want us to carry there, then they shouldn't be able to make them, which means we just don't go to Illinois. But this one is a little bit different. And the House actually passed this bill last month, and I don't know where it is right now. But they approved a bill that would ease legal restrictions for carrying concealed firearms across state lines. To stay word, how did they word it here? With proper permit to carry in any state, to carry in a concealed firearm in another state where it is also legal. I don't know. That sounds pretty much like the same reciprocity thing to me. I'll have to study up on that and see. There's so much going on, I can't keep up with all of it. Doc, and people argue that they're stoners. You know. Did Tebow leave it? Yeah, Tebow's getting laid over where Tebow's at. Tebow actually not very far away from where this shooting happened. He's got as good a view on this as anybody that wasn't actually on the scene.
All right, well, it's time to get on out of here. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about, but think about what I said. Even though you may not normally do it, you need to think about doing it now, and that is getting letters, emails, phone calls to your legislators, right, wrong, or indifferent, Republican or Democrat, independent, I don't care what they are. Remind them that we're watching them and that we are not okay with them compromising in any way our Second Amendment rights. This is going to be a tough fight, and if we got to be willing to step up there and do the best we can. Okay, we're having a little trouble here with things working properly, so the archives may not come up for a few minutes. I will stay on top of this until they are up. I may have to restart my computer. I don't know what's going on here. But at any rate, I'll get it going. So I will see you guys Wednesday. That's two full days. Can you imagine how much stuff is going to happen between now and Wednesday? All right, that's enough. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. This is Nostalgia Central here. We've got a few clips for you from various places that the show has been put on. We haven't nearly got all of them by any remote stretch, but we've got quite a few, and I just wanted to throw this in here. This first one, we missed about half of the, well, about the first 30 minutes of the show. This was the very first show, certainly the first Shooting Bench, to be done after the collapse of the Watchmen. This was the first show done on Just Measures Radio Network on the 6th of June in 2011, and this was done from a little town in Nevada called Eureka. And we're just going to listen to little clips from a few of these and move on from there. Let's listen in here. You know what, T-Dog? We may try to get Miss Amy in here. She has migrated in here to this diner and is bonding with these folks here. Nice people here. This in Eureka, Nevada. When you drive up there, it says the friendliest little town on the loneliest road in America. And there, that's why we had to stop here and do it, because the next stop is Ely, Nevada, and it's it's 120 miles, and there's nothing but barbed wire fence between here and there and a few road signs, a couple of antelope maybe. Once again, this is the Shooting Bench. I don't know how this is about the ninth time I've said this. This is the Shooting Bench. I am Cope Reynolds, and this is coming to you live and in Technicolor from Moab, Utah. One of the most incredible views in the world. The land, terrain features and stuff around here are unlike anything anybody else has to offer. We love coming through here. I've been here like a million times, but I never get tired of it. It's astounding. So that's where we're at now. This is the 7th of June. Okay, welcome. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of August, the day before Hump Day, the day before Jason and I will go forth into deep into enemy territory, into the belly of the beast, to educate folks in the fine art of pistol craft. We're headed to Ohio tomorrow at 0:30 in the morning, and we should be to Just Measures Coin Shop sometime late tomorrow evening.
All right. Where in the world is Cope and Jason? Hello, it is Thursday, the 4th of August already, and we are in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Jason and I, we've made a long trip, 26 hours of driving. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We drove 18 hours yesterday and stopped where in the heck did we stop? I was tired last night. Little Rock, Arkansas. And this morning got up and come on in to Mount Vernon, Indiana. Anyway, here we are. Jeez, what a trip. Where in the world are Cope and Jason right now? Well, we are in, well, the locals call it Belle Fountain. It's spelled Bellefontaine, so I don't know what it is. It's you can look it on the map and call it whatever you want to, but this has been an experience. I told you that Oklahoma's roads suck pretty bad, and Arkansas just sucks, period. And we've got here to Ohio. I've never been a real big fan of Ohio, but I was kind of grateful to get here this time. I found that Ohio is more better than some of the other ones we've been through. This is my third tour to Ohio. Yeah, Jason says we're in BF Ohio, if you can figure that out. And then we got here, and our host, gracious, got a nice place to shoot out there. We got here a little late because we stayed with Bobby a little long last night. We're going to make that up to him tomorrow. And it's been a lot of fun. By the way, for those of you that didn't know this already, it is Friday, the 5th of August already. Welcome to another edition of the Shooting Bench. We are coming to you, Jason and I, live and in Technicolor from, well, I was going to say beautiful downtown St. Louis, but...
More beautiful than Illinois.
Yeah, it is. It is beautiful because we just come out of Illinois. So and that's why we're late, because we didn't want to stop and do it behind enemy lines. I was afraid that... I didn't know if Jay, we've only got two AKs with us and a limited amount of ammunition, and I'm not sure that Jason would have been able to hold them off. And I may have had to play a long commercial break so I could get out there and help him stand them off here. So we made a dash to get inside America here, and we just did it. We're stopped at a gas station in the sunshine in the middle of nowhere, but we are in St. Louis. So if you hear the traffic going by and everything, we're stopped at a, what is that, Jason, Diarrhea Queen or Sonic or some little ice cream place here. And tuning in on us here, it is Tuesday, the 9th of August, and we're coming to you live and in Technicolor from beautiful downtown Shamrock, Texas. We are at Big Vern Steakhouse in Shamrock. The folks at Big Vern Steakhouse have been kind enough to let us borrow their air conditioning and their television, their Diet Cokes here for a little bit, and to bring you the Shooting Bench. And next weekend is Pioneer Days in Luna. If you guys can possibly swing the time and money to swing by here and check this out, you will be absolutely flabbergasted. This is a little town. It's not even a town. It just barely classifies as a community. There's 158 people in an unincorporated area. We have Southwest Shooting Authority and one little tiny bitty store, two gas pumps, and a post office, and that's it, and 158 people. And that's all there is. But when it comes Pioneer Days, they have, you know, it the average rodeo, professional rodeo, stuff you see on TV, sometimes has 20 and 30 teams, team roping and stuff like that, bulldog and whatever. There are over 50 teams come to this rodeo. I don't have any idea what is so appealing about this little rodeo in this town. Okay, here we are. We are welcome to a special edition of the Shooting Bench on Just Measures Radio. We are coming to you live and in I was going to say Technicolor, but not really. It's a little bit of green, a whole lot of brown, and some blue skies here. And we are live in Quartzsite, Arizona right now. And this is going to be an exciting weekend. There's no question about it. There's a lot of guns here. There's a lot of people rolling in. My old friend Bob Wright's in here. And I would suspect that Bob Mitzel is probably with him. I don't know how many of his group that he brought. I'll be seeing him right after the show. A lot of things going on. And it appears that from what I understand, law enforcement here is a little bit on edge, which I can believe that. If you listened to the show yesterday, you heard and found out that it doesn't seem that they're going to receive any help from any of the surrounding communities. And the sheriff here, his old-time buddy, will probably be about the only help that he gets. And I don't say that meaning that he's going to need help. It's just that I know that he wanted help. And we'll see how all this turns out. But there's folks steadily pulling in. We're broadcasting to you right now live from Vito's RV Park right outside of Quartzsite, Arizona. This is the happening place. This is where it's at. I met Vito himself a while ago. And thanks, guys. I appreciate you. I was worried about the sound. I have a great big fan blowing by me. We're sitting outside right now, and we've got a canopy over us, but it's 113 degrees, and sun shining bright, and it's just a beautiful day for a rebellion. Some other things that happened here. Number one, remember two or three weeks ago we told you that Jason and I and Amy had stopped in Socorro to get fuel, and we found an old ratty flag flying across the street. And of course, Amy talked me out of just taking it, so I went and put a note on the door. Well, we went back not once but twice this weekend and found that they have removed that flag. Of course, they haven't put up a new one yet, but I don't care about that. I just care about them taking that old ratty one down. Happened over the weekend at our latest crusade, where we went down to the emergency tree cutting plan that they're implementing down in Otero County. Learned a lot down there. We found out that we are not alone in our quest for freedom and liberty and all things right and normal. All gun related, of course, that may vary just a little bit tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but anyway, the Shooting Bench, it is the 11th of December, and Jason and I are tucked away, hiding in a little cubby hole in Caldwell, Idaho, trying to sneak through here without making too much to do here. I didn't tell you what they told me down at Walgreens a while ago, did I? No, I went into Walgreens to get some stuff, and there's two gals back there, and of course, I was wearing my gun, as I always do. And she said, well, how do you like it here? And I said, oh, it's fine, but I don't live here. We're just traveling through. She said, where are you from? And I told her, and she said, well, I figured it was someplace like that. You carrying a gun. So that's pretty much what everybody does around here. And I said, yeah, we thought we'd go ahead and cut our trip a little short tonight and stay here instead of going on into Oregon. We had a little extra time. We could have made it on into Oregon. And she said, oh, yeah, we treat carriers a whole lot better here than they do over there. I'm glad you stopped. Well, you guys are not going to believe this. I'm going to have to put a playlist on here for a couple of minutes. I just heard the dogs barking, and I went outside, and there's a bear in the goat pen. If you can believe that. The bear is dead now, and I'm going to have to probably call the game department here, but he is inside the goat pen, and a .22 Magnum fixed him right up. So I'm not going to interrupt the show other than I am going to have to play a playlist here for a few minutes, and I'll be back in here in just a little bit. So stand by.